MoneyWeb now on the money.
The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
I'm chatting with Amit Pamar. He's Vice President Investment Specialist within the JP Morgan Asset Management International Equity Group. Amit, appreciate the time today. South African investors have been allocating more and more of their offshore assets into offshore equity. What is the attraction in offshore equity? I mean, it is obviously the riskier, but in theory, the asset class with the better long-term returns.
Yeah, absolutely. And let me just say, first off, thank you so much for having me on this podcast here today. And it's a pleasure to be discussing offshore equities, or rather, as we tend to look at it, more so global equities. And from JP Morgan Asset Management's perspective, when we're thinking about the overall opportunity in global, there's a few key things that we always like to highlight. Number one, you're not compromising on ideas there. You can select amongst the best ideas from around the world. You're not forced to own just constituent domestic heavyweights from your home market. You can look beyond that and look at names in the semiconductor industry. You can look at names in the industrial sector, the luxury goods sector, for example. All of these different drivers can suddenly become available in your portfolio. And then the second point here that I would like to raise is actually more timely in the sense of the actual valuation opportunity as well. And our forecast of JP Morgan Asset Management through our proprietary research have really screened long-term averages for valuations as being in line at the moment. And this provides a very fertile environment for stock picking basis, but leadership within equity markets has been very narrow. The Magnificent Seven, as we always discuss it. And what that means is when you're thinking about markets globally, and also when you're thinking about stocks beyond just those key beneficiaries, beyond that narrow leadership, there's so many opportunities out there. And so what I would say there is, almost to summarize it, just being a very, very fertile and attractive time to be looking globally at markets beyond any sort of domestic bias.
Yeah, and the rest of the market, certainly in our case, is a tiny, tiny market compared to the rest of the world. What are some of the key trends and developments in global equities that we should be aware of that you and your team are looking out for?
It's always an interesting one answering what some of the key developments are, but this year in particular, it really can be boiled down to two letters. AI in front of mind of investors, artificial intelligence, the applications on a go-forward basis. Now, as part of our investment process, we look to find those beneficiaries of what we call structural change, but what that really means is those big things that are shifting the global economy, where it's going to be over the course of a market cycle. We're not interested in what's going to change over 3 months or even over a one-year basis. It's what are going to be those game changes on a go-forward basis. So front of mind of that, AI and its implications across a wide range of sectors then. You've obviously seen how well NVIDIA has done on a year-to-date basis in the broader semiconductor sector. So you extrapolate that out further and think about what are the possible implications for the healthcare sector if AI becomes utilized much more? What are the possible implications for various consumer sectors? And it's like the invention of the iPhone, and when that was rolled out in terms of smartphones, you don't really know what it's going to be a year afterwards. You start extrapolating out some of these trends on a go-forward basis, and you start capturing some of those ideas there. Our semiconductors analyst has covered the sector, our US semiconductors analyst has covered the sector for more than three decades. And his know-how and knowledge, he's seen these cycles develop over time, these new technologies emerge over that period, going from advanced home computing, going from more compact home computing, going towards smartphones to electric vehicles. What's the next step of that evolution? And having someone to lean your ideas on who can say, well, history might not repeat, but it certainly does right. And whether or not this is the next stage of that evolution there. So I would really point to AI and the possible implications of that as being the key trends at the moment.
If we go back to the iPhone, I mean, Steve Jobs stood up on stage in 2007. We didn't think about e-hailing mobility, Uber and Lyft, but they were those industries that came out and have been massive industries in the decade from. And it's the same, I suppose, as you say, with AI. Yes, AI is important at the cornerstone, but it's going to be ripples and industries all around the world that are going to have significant changes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think at these inflection moments when you do have a large structural shift, and you pointed out Uber and Lyft there, for example, it's important to note just how persistent that leadership can be. When we think back to the pandemic period, there was so much exuberance around, you know, whether it was ride hailing or meal delivery services. And what's actually persisted then, although we haven't reached the end of the cycle, but what's persisted over the course of the next 3 or 4 years, and you can see where we might have been discussing other names like Delivery Hero or these other meal delivery companies a couple of years ago, Uber is one of the key names that has actually done quite well and has continued to do well over the course of this environment. And that goes to the strength of the franchise there. Yes, there might be some governance concerns, but they are working on that. And so having an analyst who actually covers the sector in detail and engaging with this company on an ongoing basis is very, very powerful then to be able to see, okay, this is where some of those sustainable earnings are. So cycling it back to a shift like AI, for example, again, you're going to see the exact same dynamic take place. Lots of excitement in the short term. And then at some point, there will be a pullback to say, well, who are actually going to be the companies that thrive in the long term over the cycle? And is going to be best placed to implement this and innovate these technologies on a go-forward basis? And whilst you may not get all of those stock selection picks correct, what you will find, though, is if you have a robust process for doing so, you should then get it right more often than not. And you should pick those winners over a long-term time horizon rather than just the short-term inflections and dislocations that you might see in the market.
Yeah, and I take a point especially about the long-term, and it kind of brings me to my last question. Markets have been volatile over the last year and a half, 2 years. We've seen uncertainty, bear markets, and then massive booms. And some of the key risks that are front of mind for you as an investor, you and your colleagues?
Yeah, I mean, the first part of that question there, it has been an absolute roller coaster. And if you were to say in 2020, going from a pandemic environment, you had political volatility in the United States, going from that to there to then a war breaking out, Russia-Ukraine, oil prices reaching more than $100 a barrel, the rotation as well between growth to value at the start of 2022, right the way through to the Magnificent Seven terrific run this year. These are all events which have contributed to investor uncertainty over this period, because there's so many people who were so used to what technology sector is going to do well for government or in a lower velocity environment. The paradigm shifted last year. Inflation is as if it remains to be sticky, but key in front of mind investors as one of their concerns, or the most persistent concern, is just when this recession will take place. Our forecasts really point to it not necessarily coming through in 2023, and we're already in the latter half of 2023. Economic data, by and large, perhaps with the exception of China, remains relatively, even if it's not spectacular, but it remains resilient. As we head into 2024, more and more investors are pointing to that as to being the year where you may see more of a correction and more of a downturn in terms of economic growth. But the one thing I would caveat all of that is this is by and large the best forecast recession out there. This isn't a case of, say, in 2008 when so many investors were caught up in over-exuberance in the housing market. And then when there was a downturn, it was almost doubly painful. So many people are already expecting this recession to take place. And it really is, as I work in the XE franchise at JP Morgan Asset Management, will this translate into company earnings? That's always the question that we're asking ourselves. And just to point on that, our belief at the moment is that ultimately, from an analyst perspective, from those people, those stock pickers and those people covering these sectors, there's still some optimism built into those numbers. We're being much more conservative in our numbers for our analysts, and our portfolio managers are a bit more cautious overall in terms of how they're viewing the market. But I turn back to that very first question that you had for me. This is an incredibly fruitful environment for stock pickers, and this volatility can throw up some tremendous opportunities there to add to some fantastic business. And that's our approach going forward, is taking those opportunities that they may have been oversold and adding to them as long as they are great franchises.
I take your point. And it's a stock pick. And then, of course, when we then zoom out as a long-term investor, that opportunity becomes even better. Amit Pamar, Vice President, Investment Specialist within the JP Morgan Asset Management International Equity Group. Appreciate the time.
The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.